It's been a little bit since I've been up here. The old 2020 and onwards changed things up in terms of getting to be up on stage with you, but how good to be in the room. It's really good to see you. I've been enjoying the time on the lawn now that we've got it. I got a puppy last year, so guess who's coming to church with me right now? The puppy on the lawn. So that's been really fun. Good to do church in different ways. I wanted to start today with just asking you a few questions. How are you feeling, church? Good. How are you feeling about your relationship with God?
I am being absolutely
wonderful. That's what we want to hear. Yeah, that's awesome. Bless you.
I'm a bit iffy. I'm still a bit up.
It's certainly a tough time for all of us. And so I know for me, and you might share this feeling, but here's honesty for you. I'm feeling pretty disengaged. 2020, 2021, now we head into this year. I feel pretty disengaged. From what it used to be, from being in the room, from being in my community, it doesn't feel the same. I feel separated from what I used to have. And you might be in the same boat, but I'm starting back at work this week on Monday, raring to go. You might have worked through, you might have already started back. But see, I have this feeling of, thought after 2 weeks off, I'd be feeling refreshed. That's what I was hoping. I was like, I've just got to get to the end of the year. Just got to get to the end of 2021. And if I get there, then I'll have my holiday. I'll feel refreshed. And here I am at the end of that 2 week stint. And I don't feel particularly refreshed. I feel like the longing in me is far deeper than what a 2 week holiday can give me. And perhaps you're in the same boat. Perhaps you're in this boat where the longing is actually for refreshment for your soul. And if that's you, I really hope and pray that God's word tonight might refresh your soul. Before we dive in, I'd love to open in prayer. So will you join me there? Lord God, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are good to the bone. Thank you that in your hands we find everything we need. Lord God, I pray that tonight we will put you back on your place on the throne. We will acknowledge who you are and the power you hold. Thank you that you love each of us from that place. So give us ears to hear and hearts wide open to what you might be saying to us, Lord. We commit ourselves again into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we are in life-changing scriptures. This may just be me, but life-changing, big call. Really big call. I'm the kind of person that if you ask me, what's your favorite movie or what's your favorite band? I will give you about 5 options depending on my mood, depending on the genre we're going for. So big titles like this are so against what I'm used to. But today I feel like we're onto something that really did change a portion of my life. Today we are going to take a look at Psalm 23, and I've titled this message, Remember Who He Is. Remember Who He Is, Sherpa, Fighter, Host, and Home. Now, I got to Psalm 23 from this photo. You can see it dated in the corner, April 2020. I feel like at this stage we know nothing good starts with in April 2020. Unless you got married or had a baby, in which case, bless you, bless them, that's great. For the rest of us, it was all downhill from April 2020. In that month, I had, as I'm sure many of us did, lost a lot of work. I was down to 2 days a week in my full-time job. I was working from home. My husband, Mitch, still got to be on site full-time. So I was spending 5 days a week at home by myself. I was anxious. I was uncertain. I had lost all of my routine. I had lost connection with my community. And I felt like I lacked everything. And then I saw this photo. It's a beautiful photo. This is by the Crossway Photographers, it's here. And when I saw this photo, I felt so broken. I felt like it represented everything that I felt was wrong. See, this photo is my church home with its doors closed and an empty auditorium. This photo is the team that I love leading worship to an almost empty room. This photo is my dad about to get up on stage and preach to a room where all he would hear is the echo of his own voice. I felt broken. I saw this and felt like I lack everything. Nothing is right about this. And that's when God reminded me of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You probably know this. You probably heard this. I mean, it often feels like a pretty cozy scripture. In fact, Google tells me if you look up the Lord is my shepherd cushion, 9.3 million results. Super cozy. You can get it on a throw. You can get it on a fridge magnet with a sunrise photo behind it. It feels super cozy. It's the one your nana will embroider on the wall hanging for you. The Lord is my shepherd. But what I want us to read today is that this isn't some cozy, cuddly verse. I want us to remember who he is. He's not the cartoon shepherd with a stick and a little lamb. This is our Sherpa, our fighter, our host, and our home. Now, this psalm, for context, this is a psalm of David. So he's written this as a song and a prayer to God. And we know of David that he was the youngest of 8 boys. God bless that household and mealtime, good grief. He's the youngest of 8 boys. He grew up in a household. They were farmers and sheep rearers. So he spent his boyhood looking after his family's flock. So he knows a lot about what it is to be a shepherd. You see, he was the one who would have his wooden club and his slingshot. And in Samuel, it tells us he would fight off lions and bears with his club. And it's the same slingshot he would then go on to kill Goliath the Philistine with. Later on, he goes on to become the king of Israel. with all this history and the ups and downs that was David's life, he writes, "The Lord is my shepherd." So with that context, let's read this again. Verses 1 to 3. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Now, what I want you to do for me now is to picture lie down in green pastures. Picture that. You can close your eyes, use your imagination. The sight of lying down in green pastures. For me, that's, you know, a beautiful meadow. It's long green grass. It's Disney-style birds chirping in the distance. Okay? You got that image in your head? All right. Is this what you were picturing? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs down. Okay. These are the green pastures of the Judean wilderness. Not so green by standards. Bit hot, bit dry, arid desert. See, the fertile land that they had available was scarce, and so that had to be used for farming. So if you're a shepherd with sheep and goats, the option you had was the Judean wilderness. And your job was actually to guide your flock through cliff sides and sharp rocks to make sure that they got the sustenance they needed and they were able to travel through the wilderness safely. So when David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd," he has a far greater understanding of what it means to shepherd a flock than just, you know, our mate in a paddock with a few sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. See, for my context, I want to reframe this. I don't know any shepherds. I'm, you know, suburban Melbourne. You might know a shepherd, and good on you if that's the case. But what I'm reframing this is Sherpa. Now, Sherpa are the people who live in the Himalayas, and they are often used as guides when people climb Everest. These are the people who are trusted with the safety and lives of the people who take that life-threatening climb. Now, if you think of it like that, the Lord is my Sherpa. The Lord is my guide on my great challenge. The Lord is the one I trust in my unknown territory. The Lord is the one who will guide me through my struggle. That's a different thing. It's the Lord is my shepherd. Feels less like a throw or a cushion and more like a, maybe Everest inspiration poster. We could upgrade, who knows? The Lord is my Sherpa and my guide. A land that lacks everything becomes a land where I lack nothing when I follow his lead. The second verse in this, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Now, to me, this sounds a lot like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Do you know that one? Like, he makes me lie down in green pastures, but he can't make you rest. He leads me beside still waters, but he can't make you drink. Have you ever found yourself sitting beside the still waters and letting yourself become completely spiritually dehydrated? Yeah, I know this one friend of mine, I can always rely on her, and there's a reason I go to her for wise counsel. And I'll go to her and I'll say, "Look, this is my life situation. Here's what that person said. Here's what's happening. Here's what I think will happen next." She goes, "Brooke, that's great. What's God telling you about it?" I go, finding it a bit hard to hear from him at the moment. Maybe if he could just speak up. He's using his inside voice. I could really use this outside voice right now. But what she points me back to is dipping into the still waters that I have access to. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. We can be so close to accessing the refreshment for our souls, but sitting beside still waters, becoming dried up and crusty with inaction. Are you a 15-minute quiet time away from a robust and refreshed soul? Are you hoping for a deeper relationship with God, but you're choosing not to speak with him? It used to be that we could say we don't have time. We're busy. We're busy people. But see, now we can actually look at our screen time, that annoying accountability thing on your phone. It'll tell you you've got time. You've actually probably got a few hours. But are you 15 minutes away from feeling refreshed? All right, church. These verses are so full that I could do a sermon on each sentence, and we are going to power through. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. One thing I want to point out here that's interesting. We see David move from talking about God. He leads me. He guides me to now he's talking to God. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He's now speaking to his God. And this God, where we have the Sherpa, this God, this is the fighter. Like, big dog, big God, weapon fighter God. Now, in my head, if I think of shepherd, I can think of either the guy from the Christmas production and he wears a thing and he's got a beard and he's got a stick. Or I can think of the Bible story cartoon one and he's quite lovely looking as well. And maybe he has a little lamb next to him. But see, this God is not like that. They are not vicious, but that is what we see in this fighter God. He's carrying a rod and a staff. Do you know what those are? A rod is like a big wooden bat. It's a weapon. And a staff is the shepherd's crook. So if someone fell off a cliff or into a river, that's what they use to rescue. And so we've got this big wooden bat, we've got a shepherd's crook. I'm gonna say there's only one or two things we're gonna do with a massive bat. And it's not putting things back together. It's generally destruction. That is who we see here. And they're not particularly comforting. Like, if I'm gonna pick two things, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm like, your weighted blanket and your chamomile tea, they comfort me, Lord. Your soft, dulcet tones and the 9 hours of rain sound playlist, they comfort me, Lord. But here we have David saying, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The picture he's painting here is of a shepherd who can't get his flock back home before nightfall. And what a shepherd would do in this situation is he'd either move from the front or the back of the flock into the center. And with his rod and his staff, he would allow his flock to huddle around him, to draw close. But you see, as a pack like that, they were safe. And the shepherd would keep watch while the flock stayed overnight. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. See, this God, this shepherd God, this fighter God, we walk with a weapon-wielding fighter. Like, it's essentially him having a weapon and a first aid kit. Like, we know things are gonna go wrong. We know he'll probably need to fix us. That's who we're with. So even though evil abounds, we don't need to fear it. That is the God we serve. Well, I'm going to go back one, actually. Moses said this to the Israelites when they were leaving Egypt. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Draw close. Find comfort in the fight of God. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. This one I call God the host. Now, we recently hosted a family event. It was my sister Courtney's wedding. She married a wonderful Crossway man, Duncan Kieski, and we got to have their wedding in November with almost no restrictions, praise God. And at the reception, we had these four long banquet tables, and each had a place card with the person's name for where they were sitting. And two of my cousins had flown down from Sydney to be at the wedding. So as is customary, we get to the reception part, and they're cruising down the tables looking for their place cards. They go over to where their parents are seated. They're like, okay, maybe there's a family section. Checking, no, our name's not there. Okay, cool. Keep wandering. Starting to get further and further away from the good section of the room. Our names, no, okay. And they start saying to each other, well, I mean, we haven't seen Corny in like 2 years. Like lockdowns, maybe we're not as close as we thought we were. That's fine. Keep walking. Get to the corner of the room. They're like, wow, these are really, you know, the nosebleed section. Can't find their name still. And they're like, well, I guess we hardly know Duncan. We live in a different state. And from the corner of the room, they scan around to be like, all right, surely there's a seat for us here somewhere. Only to be beckoned forward to the front of the room because they'd been seated at the bridal table as a loved one of the bride and groom. See, they were given a place of honor. And there was joy and surprise on their face, which was its own wonderful thing. But the host had given them a seat of honor in this situation. Have you been in a situation where you desperately needed care? Maybe you were unwell, maybe you lost a loved one, maybe you were isolating. That's a thing we're all doing these days. And someone you loved took the time to show you their care for you by dropping something around to your house. Maybe they prepared a meal or groceries or flowers, something to show you are loved by me. Here's what I've done. Think of that. Now think, your isolation's finished, you're 2 weeks out, and a friend rolls around with groceries. I know you were isolating like 2 weeks ago, I didn't get around to it then, but I got around to it now, so here's some groceries for you. Hey, thanks. I mean, that is generous. Weird that it's now, but thank you. See, it doesn't mean as much. It's not as significant when it wasn't in my time of need. But here, David describes God as preparing a table in the presence of my enemies, in the midst of your situation. God makes you his guest of honor. He calls you by name and gives you dignity. I love the thought of this one. You sit at the table in the presence of your enemies. You can look them in the eye while you like eat a nice steak and drink some wine. It's just a good image. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. This is moving in the opposite spirit for what the situation is. God is providing safety under attack. And he's providing dignity under accusation. In the presence of your enemies, God says, I have called you by name. You are my person. And no one can do the work I have for you except for you. In the midst of your struggle, he says, I love you. I am proud of you. You are worth far more than you'll ever know. You are anointed. He is your host. Verse 6, we read, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. See, like baggage or paranoia, we can look back over our shoulder and see the things in our life that have followed us. My guilt and my shame can follow me. My sin can follow me. The things I regret can follow me. Like a monkey on my back, you can look back and say, the things that are following me, the things I regret. But what he describes here is only goodness and mercy following you. Looking back and seeing God's fingerprints on your life. My family, we said goodbye to my granddad this week, my dad's dad, and he was the most sociable man. He was a terrific sports person, a cricketer and an AFL player. And then he was a pub owner and a bartender, and he moonlighted as a stand-up comic, like character on character kind of guy. Biggest extrovert. And he could tell you stories and jokes till either he was out of breath or you didn't have time to listen. And for this kind of man, what he wanted in his final days, he just wanted to live independently. He still wanted to be the sociable man he was, and if he were to go, he wanted to go quickly. And so when we got the call that it was potentially the end of his life, we were able to go to the hospital, and truly by God's grace, he'd been taken from where he was in emergency to this airlocked room. And because of the space of the room and the way the ventilation system worked, like it was pumping air out from us, we were able to have both of his kids, all of us grandkids, in the room with him for the day, given all that's happening with the COVID restrictions right now. See, I lost someone I love, and that was really hard. But I can look back on that situation and see God's goodness and mercy followed us into that room. I can look back and see his fingerprints on the situation. That's what David's talking about. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is God as home. God as home, with the fingerprints of generosity and forgiveness on our life. In John 14, Jesus says, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. You know the way. He's saying that. You know the way home. Like an inbuilt GPS, our hearts are wired to yearn for home and the wholeness that that place provides. Remember who he is. He is home. He's the one who's prepared a place for us. I'm going to wrap us up here. But first, I want to give you the opportunity to remember who he is in your circumstance. Some of us are in a season of green pastures. You are lying down in green pastures, you're beside still waters, and you need to engage. Do you need to drink from the waters that he has led you to? Do you need to lean in and take hold of this faith you have because it is yours? Do you need 15 minutes alone with God tomorrow to refresh your soul? It may be that you are in the season where you feel like you are fighting and fighting and fighting. And God's invitation to you is to draw close to him, to find comfort next to the great warrior and let him bring you rest while he fights for you. Do you need to have an honest conversation with God about what you're struggling with? Do you need to find a friend that you can ask to pray for you? Do you need to let God fight on your behalf? For some of us, we may feel like we are standing in the presence of our enemies. For you, I ask, do you remember whose table you sit at? That you are a child of the King, created in his image, known and loved and called by him. That he sees you as his guest of honor, that he anoints your head, that he gives you work for only you, that he gives you dignity and identity in the face of your accusers. Do you need to speak those words over yourself? I'm known, I am loved, and my life matters. For some of you, it may be that you've lost hope, or you've just lost interest. Do you need to look back over your shoulder and see the fingerprints of God's goodness and mercy on your life? Do you need to remember who he was to remember who he is? Do you need to show gratitude for who that God was and remember he is the God calling you home? He is the one who's prepared a place for you. Church, I pray that the truth of his word will be a balm to the brokenness you might feel. If you're the type to remind yourself, put it on a sticky note and put it on your mirror, write it in the notes of your phone and make it your background. Remember who he is. Remember who he is for you. For some of you, maybe in the room, maybe online, it may be that you've never responded to Jesus' invitation to follow him and find your home with him in eternity. Today might be the day that you say, God, I want you to be my guide. God, I want to find my rest in you. I want to take the side of the great warrior. God, I want to be your guest of honor. Give me dignity and identity. I yearn to know where my home and satisfaction can come from. And that comes from God. If today is your day and you want to put your trust in Jesus, then we're going to pray together. We're all going to bow our heads and pray over the words that have been spoken today. I want you to pray with me in your heart. Jesus, what you did on that cross, you did for me. And today we say that we trust you, Lord. We know that you are our guide and our protector, and we can find everything we need in you. Lord, thank you that you fight for us. You invite us to your table and you create a home for us, Lord. We accept the forgiveness that you offer us when you sacrificed your son. We thank you that nothing can outdo that sacrifice. We can't outsin your sacrifice, Lord. And we're never too far from your love. We're so grateful that we are known and we are loved, and that our life matters to the living God. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We say you are our Lord and our Savior. May your hand be on each heart that trusts you again today, Lord. Bless them. Lord, we pray this in your powerful name. Amen. Amen, church. Bless you.